So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 1, The Advent of Lord Krishna, The Introduction. Yaram samadau ganane samviritam Nishamya vedas tridasan uvachaha Kam purushim me Shunutamara punar Vidiyatam ashu tataiva machiram.
Translation of Purport by the Savant Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada. While in trance, Lord Brahma heard the words of Lord Vishnu vibrating in the sky. Thus he called the demigods. O demigods, hear from me the order of Shri Dakshaya Vishnu, the Supreme Person, and execute it attentively without delay. Purport. It appears that the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be heard in trance by common persons. Modern science gives us telephones by which one can hear sound vibrations from a distant place. Similarly, although other persons cannot hear the words of Lord Vishnu, Lord Brahma is able to hear the Lord's words within himself. This is confirmed in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam 1.1.1. Pene Brahma Vidaya Adi Kaviye. Adi Kavi is Lord Brahma. The beginning of creation, Lord Brahma received the instructions of Vedic knowledge from Lord Vishnu through the medium of the heart. Rida.
The same principle is confirmed herein. While Lord Brahma was in trance, he was able to hear the words of Shri Dakshaya Vishnu, and he carried the Lord's message to the demigods. Similarly, in the beginning, Brahma first received the Vedic knowledge from the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the core of the heart. In both instances, the same process was used in transmitting the message to Lord Brahma. In other words, although Lord Vishnu was invisible even to Lord Brahma, Lord Brahma could hear Lord Vishnu's words through the heart. Supreme Personality of Godhead is invisible even to Lord Brahma, yet he descends on this earth and becomes visible to people in general. This is certainly an act of his causeless mercy. But fools and non-devotees think that Krishna is an ordinary historical person because they think that the Lord is an ordinary person like them. They described as mudha, avijananti mam mudha. The causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is neglected by such demoniac persons who cannot understand the instructions of Bhagavad Gita and who therefore misinterpret them. So the text again. Giram samado karane samiritam ishamya vedas Vidasan Nuvachaha Gam Porushim Me Srinu Tamara Punar Vidiyatam Ashu Tataivam Machiram. While in trance, Lord Brahma heard the words of Lord Vishnu vibrating in the sky. Thus he told the demigods, all demigods, hear from me the order of Shri Dakshaya Vishnu, Supreme Person, and execute it attentively without delay. I say something wrong? Everyone left. Oh. Mom Vishnu Padaya Krishna verse. I thought maybe they didn't like the purport. Mom Vishnu Padaya Krishna verse Taibhutai. Srimade Bhaktivedanta Swami Tanamane. Namaste Saraswatam Deve. Gauravani Vracharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskatyade Siddharana. Here we find that Lord Brahma is capable of hearing Krishna's instructions. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Aham Sarvasya Pravo Matak Saram Pravartate Iti Mat Babajante Mam Buddha Bhava Samanvitaha. I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. For me, the entire creation's flow. The wise who understand this perfectly, they engage my devotional service and they worship me with all their hearts. Mach chitta mach kata prana bodhiyantas parashparam katayantas ramam nityam tu shanti cha ramanti cha. The thoughts of my pure devotees, they dwell in me. Their lives are surrendered to me. And they derive great satisfaction and bliss by enlightening one another and conversing about me. In other words, those who are devotees of Krishna, they explain the process of utilizing their gross and subtle senses in Krishna's service to each other. And during that process, those who are beginning the process, by hearing how to engage in devotional service, they derive some satisfaction. Satisfaction means that as we get free from the modes of ignorance and passion, the pushing nature of the material nature gradually ceases and things are revealed to us. We get some realized knowledge, then we feel satisfied that we're making some progress. Actually, as one becomes free from the pushings of material nature, the feelings of anxiety and discomfort gradually diminish. Material nature has two energies known as avaratmika shakti and pragatmika shakti. One of them covers our consciousness, so we really don't understand things as they are. And because we don't understand things as they are, we think everything is very complicated. And at the same time, it impels us to act in ways that are not for our benefit. And just being influenced by lust, anger, greed, illusion, etc., we're suffering in the material energy. So just acting under the spell of the material nature in itself is suffering, what to speak of the reactions we get from it. But as one hears the science of Krishna consciousness, gradually, at least one can see things from the spiritual point of view with one's intelligence, and one therefore does not feel so much impelled to act according to the modes of material nature. Instead, one can actually engage in Krishna service and become further purified. So the knowledge we get from devotional service gradually gives us the spiritual strength by which we can further act in devotional service and further become purified. So this here is explained as Krishna's mercy. Sometimes we think mercy is someone puts up their hand and they wave it and we become rich and famous and all our diseases are cured. One time Prabhupada was in a train, an Indian train, with some of his sannyas disciples, and some Indian gentlemen were trying to get into the same train. But the disciples of Prabhupada did not want them to enter. In any case, somehow or another, they caught Prabhupada's eye, and Prabhupada was obliged to invite them to come into his train car. So when they came in, he said he greeted them, and they had some polite conversation. And then they asked Prabhupada, we want your blessings. So generally, the sadhus in India, they're very merciful. They raise their hands, wave it in the air, and people feel satisfied that now I have the sadhu's blessings, my life is successful. The Prabhupada was not such a sadhu. He asked the Indian gentleman, what kind of blessings do you want? So one of them said, Swamiji, my daughter, she's not married, it's very hard to get her married, very expensive, I need your blessings. Another one said, well, I have this wart on my foot, I've been to so many doctors, they can't remove it. I need your blessings. So then Prabhupada pointed to his sannyas disciples, the saffron-colored cloth, and he said, this is my blessings. So these Indian gentlemen became very nervous. Obviously, they were not very enlivened to hear that this is what the sadhu was about to bless them with. So they said, Swamiji, it is very late. You seem very tired. Maybe you'll come back later for your blessings. We'll see you later. And they disappear. People don't know actually what blessings is. are what they are. But in any case, when we ask for blessings, real blessings are the knowledge, or as Krishna says, Gyanena tu tada gyanam, yesham nashitam atmanaha, tesham adityavaj gyanam prakashiti tatparam. One, however, when is enlightened with the knowledge by which nescience is destroyed, and his knowledge reveals everything, just like the sun lights up everything in the daytime. Or as Krishna, another place he says, Api chet sudarachiro, api chet api sarvebhya, api chet asi papebhya, sarve bhya papakrit maha, sarvam jnana planevaivam, vrijanam santarishasi. That this knowledge, Krishna says, can destroy api chet papebhyo sarvebhya papakrit maha. Even if you're considered to be the most sinful of all sin people, when you're situated in the boat of material of spiritual knowledge, then you can easily cross over the ocean of material miseries. In other words, what more blessings do we want? One of our offenses, or one of the offenses that we chant every day, is to consider the chanting Hare Krishna be equal to one of the ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas as true activities of Karmakanda. Generally, people equate blessings with advancing in some kind of material sphere. But here it says, api chad asipa pebhya, that even if you're the most sinful of all sinful people, if you're situated in the boat of transcendental knowledge, then you can easily cross over the ocean of material miseries. But real blessings is to get out of suffering, material suffering. Unfortunately, even if we get some material advancement, that doesn't mean that's going to end our suffering. Even if we perform pious activities and we come back and take birth as a rich person, it is not that a rich person doesn't suffer. Taking birth, whether you're a dog or a multi-billionaire, is suffering. When you're growing old or becoming diseased, it's equally suffering. When it's cold out, the millionaire suffers and the dog suffers. Everyone suffers. The learned person suffers, the ignorant person suffers, the beautiful person suffers, the ugly person suffers. Everyone's suffering in the material world. But only if we get the knowledge to cross over the ocean of material miseries, can we actually end our suffering. Therefore, knowledge, transcendental knowledge, is considered the best of all blessings. For that reason, Prabhupada wrote books and he gave classes. He could have just spent the whole time just waving his hand in the air, giving his blessings, liberating all the conditioned souls who came near him. Shaktipad, I think they call it in some group. Simply going around and hugging everyone and that way making everyone feel good temporarily before they enter into the lower species of life. But it's actually Itai Dam So Samridoganira Bhasmat Satkru Terajana Yaganagni Sarvakarmani Bhasmat Satkru Tejana. As the blazing fire turns fireward to ashes, so is the fire of knowledge burnt to ashes all the reactions to our sinful activities. Ihi gyanena sadrisham pavitram iha vidite tatsvayam yogasam siddha kalena atmanividite. In this world there is nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge is the mature fruit of all mysticism, and one who achieves this knowledge enjoys the self within himself in due course of time. So transcendental knowledge leads us to becoming conscious of Krishna. Well, we can't become conscious of Krishna and jump over transcendental knowledge. And without transcendental knowledge, we won't become conscious of Krishna. We may perform so many pious activities, but if we don't receive transcendental knowledge, we still remain ignorant of our relationship with Krishna. Sharavan labhate jnanam tatpara samatendriyaha jnana labdha param shantim achvena adagacchati. A faithful person who is absorbed in transcendental knowledge and who subdues his senses or engages them in Krishna service, he quickly achieves the supreme spiritual peace. Agyas chastrajanas cha samshayas vinashati jnana loka ta parona sukham samshayatmanaha. For those who are ignorant and faithless, who doubt the revealed scriptures, they go to ruin and perish. For the doubtful soul, there is happiness neither in this world nor in the death, in the next. So we may be very proud that we're so skeptical, that we don't accept anything, we don't accept any authority, we don't accept any scripture, we don't accept anything, except for my senses, whatever they tell me I accept. My senses and mind, whatever they want, I go for, but everything else I'm very reluctant, doubtful. So for such a person who can accept spiritual knowledge coming from Krishna and therefore control his senses and mind and engage them in Krishna's service, who as Prabhupada goes through a whole series, some people completely reject Krishna. Some people, they accept his Bhagavad Gita, but they don't understand what's in it. Some people understand what's in it, but they don't follow it. Some people follow it, but still they don't really have any real faith that the objective is to become Krishna conscious. So it is not that we can become officially devotees of Krishna and not be interested in what Krishna says. Yes, Krishna is God, and I'm his servant, but who cares what he says? Because if I get too much interested, it may spoil my material life. All my plans will be ruined because Krishna may not allow them. Therefore, why should I get too much involved with Krishna? Maybe when I get old and nothing's left, then when I can't do anything else, then I'll surrender to Krishna. Here's my old, worn-out body. Can't do anything with it. You take it, Krishna. But one should be interested in transcendental knowledge. Otherwise, one's doubts will not be dissipated unless we hear the knowledge by which nations is destroyed. Yoga sanyasta karmanam jnana sanchina samshayam atma vandam nibandanti nikarmani nibandanti dananjaya. Therefore, one who's renounced the fruits of his work, whose doubts are destroyed by transcendental knowledge, is situated firmly in the self, O Son of Kunti, and he's not bound by the reactions of his work. And Krishna's final conclusion in that chapter is, Tasmar agana sambhutam ritstam jnana sanatmanaha shidvainam samshayam yogam atishtam tishtabharata. Therefore, Arjuna, these doubts which have arisen in your heart out of ignorance should be slashed by the weapon of knowledge. Armed with yoga, O Bharata, stand and fight. We hear these sounds coming from Krishna. We should become convinced that we're Krishna's servants and that we should do something to please Krishna. At the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna asks Arjuna, Kachire tas shrutam bharata tvayai ka grana chetasaha kachire agana samoha pranatas tai dananjaya. Actually, before that he says, Adyesh tej ya imam dharma sampadam aviyam jnana jagnena tenaham ishtak swamiti meimate. And I declare that one who studies this conversation of mine worships me by his intelligence. Sharavan anasuyascha shunuyat apiyonara sopimukta subalokan prapnuvat punyakarmana. And one who listens with faith and without enviousness, he obtains the planets where the pious dwell. But then Krishna asks Arjuna, where do you fit in? Kachit aetas sutam parata, tvaya ka grana chetasa, kachit agana samoha, pranatas te dananjaya. He wasn't interested in encouraging Arjuna either to use simply be more intelligent or to go to the heavenly planets. He wanted to know if he actually listened with attention to what Krishna was saying, if he got the proper conclusion. And what is the proper conclusion? What is the proper, really, the topmost result of hearing Bhagavad Gita? is your memory, is your illusion dispelled? Is your ignorance dispelled in your illusion? We're walking around in this illusion, I am this body, I am independent, I can do whatever I want, I can gratify my senses and everything will be all right. We're walking around in that illusion. Krishna wasn't very much impressed. If Arjuna didn't understand, his illusion wasn't dispelled, and his ignorance wasn't dispelled. So Arjuna said, Nashto moha smritira labha tat prasada maya chuta stitosmi gata sandeha karishe vachanam tava. Yes, nashto moha. My illusion is now dispelled. Nashto moha smritira labha. And I regain my memory by your mercy. So that was the result of hearing Bhagavad Gita with attention. Is our illusion of misidentifying ourselves with this body, of not understanding Krishna, is dispelled, and we remember our relation with Krishna, that we're his servants. Nashto moha smritira labha tat prasada maya chuta. Because Krishna and his representatives told us about this and gave us the exact information by which how to perform our service, our activities in this world, to regain that knowledge of Krishna and become purified of our illusions and misconceptions. Tat prasadamaya chuta stitosmi gata sandeha. Now Arjuna says, I'm prepared to fight according to your directions. Karishe vachanam tava. Now at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna said, yes, so now I've understood everything and I'm leaving. I'll see you next Christmas or something. Actually, the Bhagavad Gita was, war took place about this time. Not that Arjuna said, I've understood everything, but I don't accept it. You take your my bow and arrow, and you fight, I'm leaving. Peace, brother. I'm leaving. Oh, Arjuna, the proof that he understood Bhagavad Gita is that he fought on behalf of Krishna. Krishna still was on his chariot, and he didn't flee into the jungle or into the forest. No, he followed Krishna's instructions. Although it wasn't all very pleasant, Krishna still had to encourage Arjuna to kill certain people he didn't want to kill. But he did it. Therefore, that's how we understood that he understood Krishna's instructions and followed it. Similarly, when the devotees are engaged in devotional service, to that extent that they are, then we've understood that they've listened. Not that I've heard everything perfectly, I understood everything, I'm very advanced, but I just do whatever I want, say whatever I want. Think whatever I want. No, that means we may have heard something, but that doesn't mean we've heard enough to surrender to Krishna fully. In any case, Brahma, he heard, he understood, he didn't break into Vaikuntha or into Svetadweep, falling himself at Krishna's feet. He understood the most important thing is to hear what Krishna wants me to do. And he understood that Krishna is in my heart, and if I simply ask him, then he may inform me. So he went to Svetadweep, the shore of the ocean of milk, and he simply asked Krishna, and Krishna gave him the information. Similarly, if we sincerely serve Krishna according to the instructions coming from his representatives, then tesham sadatam yuktanam bhajantam pratipurvakam tadami buddhiyogam tam yena mam upyanti te. Krishna will enlighten us and enliven us according to how much sincerely and steadily and enthusiastically we're engaged in his service. It is not that by some miracle we'll make advancement. Krishna likes my face and therefore he'll bless me. No, it's according to the consistency and the enthusiasm that we render service to Krishna with. To that extent, he gives us intelligence how, by which we can make further progress in becoming more consistent and more enthusiastic. Not that he gives us the intelligence, we get rewarded, I'm consistently engaged in devotional service, and therefore he gives me another service to do. Or he gives me some reward, or he gives me a special bonus for Christmas. No, if we're consistent and enthusiastic, then Krishna gives us more intelligence to become more consistent and more enthusiastic. When Prahlad Maharaj was asked, what kind of benediction do you want? He said, I simply want that my devotional service become more steady and more enthusiastic. And finally, Tesham Eva Nukamparatam Ahama Gyana Jamtamaha Nasham Yam Yavavashto Gyana Dipena Bhashvataha. Within the heart, Krishna takes away all the anarthas, the impediments, and therefore one's devotional service becomes naturally consistent and naturally enthusiastic. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Sometimes it's explained that devotional service is independent of knowledge or independent of anything. And so I was wondering if you could explain that in the light of your class.
It's independent of materialistic knowledge, material mundane knowledge. But how can we say, without knowledge, how can you do anything?
The example Srila Prabhupada gives is of the gopis, that they were just simple village girls.
But they know Krishna, and Krishna is knowledge. Jnana. Jyoti samabhitaj jyoti, tamasam paramuchite, jnanam gayam ganam gamyam, riddhi sarvasvishtitam. I'm the light of all in all things. Jyoti samabhitaj jyoti, I'm the light. I'm the illumination of all night. Tamasam paramuchite. I'm beyond the darkness of matter. I am knowledge. I am the goal of knowledge and the object of knowledge. I'm situated in everyone's heart. Krishna is knowledge. If you know Krishna, iti te gyatama ya ya yomam evam ajanato janati purushottama sasaravit bhajante mam sarabhavena bharata. Anyone who knows me without any doubting is said to be the knower of everything. Therefore, he engages in full devotional service. So, to know Krishna means you know everything. You know everything that's worthwhile to know, at least. Because he's the source where everything comes from. When you see Krishna, then you can see everything, just like the sun lights up everything in the daytime. Anything else? Yes. Real knowledge is beyond intelligence. Real knowledge is the soul when he sees everything clearly. That's Buddha Yoga. In contact with Krishna, everything is understood. Because the soul has intelligence. And that intelligence is the same as the intelligence given in the scriptures. Therefore, the self-realized soul, he sees everything objectively. He sees everything as it's described in the scriptures, because there's no covering. Well, then the subtle body is purified, it's spiritualized. One sees everything clearly. But the soul has intelligence, it has a spiritual body. The spiritual mind is spiritual intelligence. So when there's no more covering, then he sees everything as it actually is. He sees Krishna, and he sees everything in relation to Krishna. Yes.
Thanks. Maharaj, if we're not strong in our own Krishna consciousness, but yet we endeavor to chant our rounds, to follow the principles. How can we remain enthusiastic when we're surrounded by many wonderful devotees who everyone's on a different level? Not everyone is maybe have the opportunity to chant 16 rounds or to they're beginning their devotional service. So how do we remain enthusiastic if we're not strong?
Well, come to class every day. Become strong. Hear the knowledge of Krishna consciousness with some kind of try to hear, and if we hear, then Krishna will help us become spiritually strong. evam bude param budva samstabhyatmanam atmana jahi shatru mahabaho kamarupam durasara. Thus, knowing oneself to be transcendental, the material senses, mind, and intelligence, one should control the lower self by the higher, and thus by spiritual strength conquer this insatiable enemy known as lust. So we have to take shelter of Krishna by hearing and chanting and serving him. And by practicing that, the more we come in contact with Krishna, by his protection, we become spiritually strong. We're very tiny, so with Krishna we become protected, and without Krishna we're defenseless, we're hopeless, helpless. Daivi esha gunamayi mama maya duratya mam eva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. This divine energy of mine consisting of the three modes is very difficult to overcome, but those who take shelter in me easily cross beyond it. So it's good to find out that we're helpless, but then we should take shelter of Krishna so that we get some help. We should know who to go to for help. That's Krishna. Anything else? Yes.
Maharaj, during this month, we're conducting our book distribution. And thank you. I saw that you're offering this training for book distributors. And I had a simple question in regards to, and I was hoping you could guide us just a little bit here. It's when we're, you know, introducing Krishna consciousness to someone, especially I'm going to university campuses and distributing books to college students. And sometimes, you know, I'm wondering what would be the most effective, you know, way in a short conversation to introduce the idea that there is a relationship between us and Krishna, you know, as a way of inspiring them to go more deeply or to, you know, accept it. I was wondering if you had some practical experience with that you could share with them.
Well, you have to find out what people are interested in and then relate the book to what they're interested in. There's no way you're going to suddenly bring someone who's completely in the modes of nature into enlightened being in the campus, and then you have to find out we're not interested in enlightening people some kind of immediately on the campus. We're interested in giving them a book, and hopefully if they get interested in the book will enlighten them.
So trying to find out a little bit of about them and...
Yeah, their interests, what they're interested in.
Validate, you know, the situation.
And then relate the book to what they're interested in. They'll be interested in the book if the book has something they're interested in. Most people are not interested in Indian philosophy from the 5,000 years ago. But they are interested in themselves and their interests.
Thank you very much.
Anything else? Thank you very much. Grantaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.